Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Most listeners probably remember the byline of Elaine Veitz, longtime columnist for the Post-Dispatch. She is now a successful novelist and will be with us in just a couple of moments. But first, the terrible tornadoes that swept through Joplin, Missouri a year and a half ago left lasting images not only of death and destruction, but also of the human drama that is inevitably a part of historic events. All are revisited in two documentaries being shown in St. Louis this evening. Here with me to talk about the films, Beth Pike is co-director of one film, Deadline in Disaster, which tells the story of how staffers of the Joplin Globe newspaper survived, then had to report on the disaster. Wally Kennedy is a reporter with the Globe. He is in the film. Erica Tremblay, director of the second film, Heartland, A Portrait of Survival, which shows how preserving memories can sometimes be more important than the loss of more material things. I thank you all so much for being with us today. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ask both you, Beth, and you, Erica, to give us kind of a thumbnail of your different films, starting with you, Beth. Just a quickie on what it's all about.
Okay. Well, thank you, Don. Our film basically traces the Joplin Globe staff. We quickly learned that they had suffered immeasurable losses. One-third of their newsroom and their whole, actually the whole Globe staff had lost their homes, cars. Their page designer died. So yet they published on day one and have been publishing every single day. So we found that to be an opportunity to really showcase what community newspapers do for the community, even when they're hit themselves.
All that drama focused on one group.
Correct.
Yeah. Erica, how about your story?
We follow one woman, Abby Allmendinger, as she collects displaced photos that had been lost in the storm. She created one central location for all of these photographs. And then our film documents her as she returns these photos and kind of weaves the stories of the people getting their photos back as they tell, you know, what happened in those crazy moments during the storm.
Crazy, crazy indeed. Wally, the question for you is, how difficult is it to cover a story that you're such a part of?
It is extremely challenging. You become involved with the story on an emotional basis, and that's something a journalist tries to steer away from. But it's impossible not to become that way. And I've told people, you know, I've worked at the Globe for 37 years as a writer. There have been times in my career where I've had to shed a tear or two. But in the last year after the tornado, more tears shed then than all the previous years combined. It has been an extraordinary time for the Globe.
Folks who have not been through this kind of a disaster might not fully appreciate just how awful and horrible it is on so many levels. I'd like to use some clips from some of these videos. And the first one I'd like to start with is one of the Globe employees, and I believe the name is Jeff Lehrer, describing what it was like to him as the tornado came in.
As the tornado was coming and you could hear a poof, poof, it was gaining steam. To me, it seemed to have simultaneously a mechanical sound to it. I like it was simply an impersonal mechanical thing. There was a sense of almost evil to it, something alive and angry and malevolent.
Beth, I thought that was one of the best descriptions I've ever heard. It's such a kind of a flatline voice explaining this evil and malevolence. Were you there when the tornado hit?
I was there within hours. I got dispatched. I work freelance for various network news, and CBS News called me and said, can you come down and cover this storm? And so I headed down there, and I was there, I guess, at dawn when we really saw the destruction. Our satellite truck was right near St. John's Hospital. So it was like an apocalypse. I mean, it just was unimaginable, and I've covered many, many tornadoes in the Midwest. But Jeff Lehrer, I think the fact that he is a crime reporter, his detail is just, it's just right on. I mean, he's used to doing that in the newspaper, the way he describes court cases, and I think that really showed what he described.
Normally what we hear is it sounded like a freight train coming through, and it's pretty much left at that. Erica, were you in town when this happened?
I actually was not. I live in Los Angeles now, but all of my family still live in Joplin, so it was kind of like coming home, opening up the laptop, seeing the news, and then spending the next 24 hours trying to find out whether my family was safe, and then, you know, friends and all of that. So it was definitely like I was there. I felt like I had been through the tornado.
Wally, what did you think of that description from Jeff?
I think it was right on target. And I think people who live in Joplin feel that way, that it just was overpowering to such an extent that it had this quality to it that it was almost evil-like. Certainly what was left over, the damage and the debris and the destruction, was just phenomenal. I mean, nobody was prepared to see that.
In talking about the emotion and the way people reacted to it, Erica, we have another clip from your film that I'd like to run. Set this up for us. This is the woman who got quite emotional looking at a pickup truck.
Yes, this is Taylor Harmon. I actually went to high school with her husband, and they were driving looking at new homes, actually. They were looking to purchase a home, and they kind of heard on the radio that there was a storm coming, and then all of a sudden they realized, oh, this is really, really terrible. So they had pulled over to the side, and the windows had broke out of the vehicle, and the vehicle had been moved around, but they were able to they survived, and then when they walked out of the truck and started walking to safety, this is kind of what they encountered.
All of a sudden, there was a woman in the street, barefoot, and just kind of, you know, in shock. I could tell she was just kind of walking back and forth on the side of the road. So I went to her and said, you know, are you okay? Do you know what's wrong? Are you okay? And she said, no, I'm not okay. And she just kind of said, I can't find my boys. I can't find my boys. And I said, well, where were you, you know? And she pointed to the side of the road, and there was a pickup truck, and it was upside down and had debris on top of it. That was really hard after climbing out of it myself with my boys and not having any real injuries ourselves. Sorry. To come up on another mother that had lost, you know, didn't know where her boys were. That was really hard.
And this, of course, was recorded some time after the actual incident, correct?
This was 3 weeks. 3 weeks after the tornado had hit was when we actually had that interview. And I think sometimes what gets lost is, you know, national news covers these stories, and then, you know, they move on to the next thing. And when you hear her tell the story, they survived. They didn't lose their home. They lost the windows in their Jeep. But having an experience like that, you know, will stick with her forever. And I think sometimes we forget that just being in shell-shocked like that, you know, will affect this family forever. And it's a gripping story for sure.
Beth, how is the community healing now?
Well, that's probably a real good question for Wally, since he's down there every day. But I was there not too awful long ago, and particularly when we had the one-year anniversary and we showed the film. And I felt like the community had come a long ways in the fact that you started seeing rebuilding in Joplin, much like, you know, what I didn't quite expect was how many buildings were starting to go up. And I think people were kind of picking up with their lives and moving on.
Wally, go ahead.
It's been a phenomenal recovery. And the recovery has been so successful in part because the people of Joplin are resilient, and they themselves took responsibility for the cleanup and getting their town back together. But there were thousands of people who came to Joplin to help with the cleanup, 200,000 probably at last count.
Wow.
And it made all the difference in the world. Our town is the debris is gone. The built reconstruction is underway. Most of the homes that were destroyed, an equivalent number, are coming back. 7,500 homes were destroyed. 500 businesses were destroyed. Right now, we have 486 businesses coming back. So it is just a phenomenal recovery.
The last figure I saw was 161 dead. Is that
correct.
The final total?
Yeah. And two of those are not directly tied to the tornado, but one person, a firefighter, was electrocuted in a lightning incident. And then another person, a woman, died of a heart attack when she heard that her husband had been killed. And so they include those in the total.
And one of them, Beth, was a Globe staffer.
Yes, yeah. Yes, the page designer.
Bruce Bailey.
Yeah. Erica, I'd like to get back to the photo line that you use in the film. It's not – the whole film's not about that, but it's pretty a pretty good part of it. How did you come upon this idea? It seems a wonderful way to tell a story.
Yes, actually, our co-producer, Patty Wilkins, had arrived in Joplin to help with the relief effort within days of the storm. And as I was in L.A. mobilizing, getting camera crew together, I just knew I was going to go back and tell stories. I didn't know exactly what those stories were going to be. And he introduced me to Abby. And, you know, when I had read about what she was doing, I love photos myself. Patty loves photos. And it just seemed like a natural thing for us to follow this story and show kind of that human side. Like, you know, everyone was helping in some way. And this woman chose to reunite people with memories that might have been lost forever.
The photos must have been blowing all over town, if it, what was left of town.
Some of the photos were actually recovered up to 100 miles away. People were finding photos in their fields. You know, as they were, like, tending to cattle, they were finding these photos that had blown 100 miles. It's pretty incredible.
I want to play another clip relating to that in just a moment, but we have to take a break. We'll do that. With me in studio is Beth Pike, co-director of Deadline in Disaster, which is one of the films being shown tonight in connection with the Joplin tornado of May of 2011. Wally Kennedy is a reporter with the Joplin Globe. Deadline in Disaster deals primarily with how the people of that newspaper dealt with the tragedy. Erica Tremblay is with us, director of Heartland, A Portrait of Survival. We'll come back and continue our discussion in just a moment. We'd like to get you in on it as well. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call. Perhaps you have some recollections. Maybe you were there. Maybe you used to live in Joplin. Who knows? We'd love to hear from you. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email if you like at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Of course, we'll take a tweet at STL On Air, and you can reach us through Facebook. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our discussion about two films focusing on the Joplin tornado of May of 2011. We have in studio Beth Pike, co-director of one of them, Deadline in Disaster. Wally Kennedy is a reporter for the Joplin Globe, and Erica Tremblay is director of the second film, Heartland, A Portrait of Survival. Let me tell you that the 2012 St. Louis International Film Festival is presenting Deadline in Disaster and Heartland, A Portrait of Survival. Tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Plaza Frontenac Cinema, we have a link to the St. Louis Cinema website. You can get more information on that, but that's where you'll be able to see both of these films. Back to the photo situation, we have another clip, Erica, that I'd like to run concerning this part of the story. Could you set that up for us?
Yes, this is Abby Almendinger, who was just, you know, so amazing in collecting and returning all these photos. And in this clip, she's discussing one photo in particular that she found and was able to return.
I got a phone call on a Saturday morning. She told me that she had found some photos on the Facebook page that were her sister, and her sister had died in the storm and had died saving her son, her 9-year-old little boy. And I just lost it. You know, I just, you know, kind of the world just stopped for me at that point. And the photograph that I had was of the mother and the son when he was about 2 and he was sitting in her lap. I'm just glad that he'll be able to have that as a memory, you know, of his mom. And, you know, that she can live on in that way. And he can have that as a memory, you know, of what she did for him.
So much emotion. It brings a tear to all of our eyes, I think, as we listen to that. You know, it just seems true, Erica, that sometimes photographs are the most important thing in the house. We hear it again and again. People run back into a burning building mm-hmm. to get a photograph.
Yeah, and what was just so captivating about what Abby was doing was, in some cases, these were the only photos that were recovered. And in cases like we just heard, you know, the only photo of someone who didn't survive the storm, you know, and to be able to have that and to have that to pass down for generations and generations, it's truly a gift what she was able to do to collect these photos and return them. And it's happy and sad. I mean, you hear that. And, you know, that's, you know, it's he gets to have that photo of his mother now forever, which, you know, is very uplifting and inspiring in so many ways.
You know, I can see emotion in your face right now, and it's been a long time since you made this video, but it still really hits you hard, doesn't it?
Of course. And, you know, going home and you see your hometown that way and you see all of your friends and family who have just been living and dealing with this, it's hard. But, you know, through making the film, I think that's healing for me, and then also healing for the people who were able to tell their stories. And that's why I'm, you know, so glad and excited to be sitting here with other filmmakers who were able to tell other sides of the story that happened. And it's just so great that we have these films that get to document this.
Beth, is it ever possible to distance yourself, divorce yourself from the emotion in a situation like this?
Well, it's a good question, and it's asked by a lot of journalism students when they come through journalism school and want to know about that same question. I think as a journalist, obviously, you know, you have to put your journalist hat on and you have to be able to report it and not, you know, let those emotions sway. But you're not human if in some way you can't go home at the end of the day and reflect on what was going on and have some compassion. And I think when you lose that compassion, I think you then are doing a disservice in your own profession.
Mm-hmm. Wally, back to you. With regard to the photos, I mean, you lived through this. You were there. Were the things like that that happened to you things that might have been lost or displaced somehow that you found important and became kind of obsessive about?
I think one of the reactions to the tornado is that people now are less interested in material things and more interested in people and helping people and helping others. You know, the photographs are important, and the project to return these photographs to the people who own them is a major undertaking and is still underway today. And it'll be going on for a long time. But let me show you with an incident that happened to me. A young man was killed at a pizza hut in Joplin trying to save other people. The Globe did a story about this young man. When the Pizza Hut reopened, the mother of the boy, young man, came there to greet customers. And when she saw me, she came to me and she said, "You work for the Globe?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I want to thank you." And I said, "Well, what for?" "For writing the story about my son and how he tried to save the lives of other people. He has a young daughter. Someday I'm going to show her that story and show her what kind of father she had."
And I can see it in your face, too. You're still caught up in this and very much caught by it.
Every time I watch Deadline of Disaster, it chokes me up.
There was one scene in there relating to you that I thought was very impressive. When you came back out of sorts, obviously, for everything that had gone on, and I guess it was one of your editors said, "No, sit down and write about it. Just write about it." Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yes, and actually that was Jeff Lehrer. Jeff Lehrer was caught. His house was destroyed. He barely survived. And the editor thought the best thing for Jeff, both for our readers and for him personally, was to express this and get it down on paper. And it was a cathartic experience for him. And in my writing about it, it was the same for me. In talking to these people and interviewing them and sharing their stories, it was sort of like a therapy session. You know, they wanted someone to talk to, and you would listen, and you would tell their story.
And putting all of this together, what was your approach, Beth, to telling this story?
Well, our approach was to mainly put a face on what community newspapers do all across this country. Missouri Press Association is the one that funded this project, and our mission was mainly just to let people, the viewers, to see what goes on in a community newspaper, and that these writers, too, are very, very connected to the community. And so that was basically, you know, our goal was to show people what goes on and that they're just like everyday people, and they're heroes too, like the firefighters and the police officers. They have an important role when it comes time for tragedies like this to help out.
And this may be an important time to tell a story about a newspaper and how it works, because newspapers are under such duress.
That's correct.
These days. We have another clip, our last clip, which basically deals with the importance of a newspaper in a community. And Daryl Morgan is the person who is speaking in this particular situation. He delivers your newspaper in Joplin. Let's listen to him.
We had 3,700 customers in the disaster area, and over 1,000 of those were actually homes that were no longer livable. Not only that, but the areas were not drivable. The roads were filled with debris. There was no electric, no TV, no cable, no internet, and it was that hard copy, being able to sit there and read about what had happened and how all the lives of everybody in our city were affected.
Was that, in fact, Daryl Morgan?
No, that was actually the circulation manager for the Globe.
Mistake.
Daryl was actually a Red Cross. She was at the Red Cross, and she was one of the people who had found herself without a home, and we interviewed her. And that's who Daryl is.
No problem. I apologize for that. Erica, back to you. With regard to the newspaper, we've talked about the photos with the others. What about the importance of that newspaper in that community?
Well, just growing up there, I mean, hugely important. And I love what Wally touched upon, that now, these articles that have been written by the Joplin Globe will now become part of these family scrapbooks. And I think that, it's so important that we, document these things and that people have a sense of history. And, I had that same experience going, and just people needed to tell their story and people needed to talk to you and tell you what had happened. And, with these films and with all that the Joplin Globe has done and, other journalists in the area, I think there is now a very, very well-written piece of history that has happened in Joplin, and that will continue. And 5 years from now, we'll see where they are there. And, I mean, that this story has really just begun.
Well, the motivation must have been the same for you in wanting to put together a film documenting all of this.
Yes, and I think that everything that I had seen on disasters had really come from a scientific or technical standpoint. Like, let's talk about how big the storm is. Let's talk, all these different areas that have had terrible storms. And being from there, I thought, well, maybe we can tell a different story about a tornado. So we went in and just sat in the living rooms of these destroyed homes and let the people tell us what had happened. And it turned out to be, a great experience just for myself to heal. I think for them as well. We got to go back a year after and show the film, and it seemed to be a great experience for everyone.
And one of the things about your film that stands out is that there was a lot of very human emotion. I mean, tears were close in many occasions, and I'm sure still are. Beth, your guys seem more controlled, and I wonder if that's because of the profession that they're in.
I definitely think so. No doubt they have to be pretty strong to do what they were doing day in and day out, and knowing that they had losses themselves. And yet they had a paper to put out. I mean, you had a lot of inches to cover in a newspaper, and they did their job. So, but not to say that they weren't doing it without emotion, because they certainly were, and it hit very close to home.
Well, at least one of the people in the film had just started at the newspaper and expected to be writing obits or whatever, the things that the rookies
school board
get to do. Exactly, school board. How quickly do you grow as a journalist when you're thrust into something like this?
For the young reporters on the staff, it was truly a trial by fire. And then that's where the experienced reporters and the editors come in and say, okay, we can do this. And step by step, one step at a time. And that's how we approached it. And they have learned so much in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And even myself, it was a step in a whole new area for me.
Never having gone through something like this is certainly a learning experience. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of our time. I'm going to ask each one of you before we say goodbye to just ask you what you hope the audience takeaway is going to be tonight and whenever this film is shown. I'll start with you, Wally.
Well, there are a couple of things. I hope people I think in Joplin people had a concept in their mind of what a tornado was and, you know, a little thing that would blow through town and maybe tear up a tree or two or a roof or something. When next time you hear a siren go off for a tornado, you need to think about Joplin and the possibility that it could be an EF5 with winds of 200 miles an hour and 3/4 of a mile wide.
We've gotten some lessons like that around here in the not-too-distant past, about the same time, actually, mm-hmm. this was going on. Beth, how about you?
Well, certainly to add to what Wally said, also to for people to realize that the value that we have with newspapers. And I know it's a time where it is pretty rough for many community newspapers and city newspapers. And I just want people to realize that how important that connection is as far as getting the information out, helping your own community more in the storm and pick up and be the watchdog that it needs to be.
And Erica?
I think that the one huge lesson that I've learned from making this film is that, you know, the Joplin tornado isn't something that just affected Joplin, you know, and I think that if people can walk away after these people have told their heartfelt stories, maybe they can appreciate, you know, that talk that they have with their daughter that night or, you know, talk a little longer with their grandmother on the phone because it really is these human experiences and our connections and relationships to each other that are so important.
That's Erica Tremblay, who's director of Heartland Portrait of Survival. Also with us in studio, Beth Pike, co-director of Deadline in Disaster, and Wally Kennedy, also with us, a reporter for the Joplin Globe. A reminder that the International Film Festival presents Deadline in Disaster and Heartland Portrait of Survival tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Plaza Frontenac Cinema. We have more information on our website. Wally, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Beth, thank you for being
with
us. Erica, thank
you
so much. And congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Elaine Veitch. She's going to be talking about her latest book. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.